harvest time. We're so happy that you're here to join us. And let's put our hands together and worship God this morning, yeah? My sin.
wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, a greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. I hear the chains hit the can light it up. God of revival, let hope arise. This death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, the darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. God of revival, let hope arise. This death is overcome.
Cause all my life you have been there. Hi everyone, my name is Philip and I'm part of our Young Adults Ministries here at Harvest Time. Whether you're joining us in person or you're joining us online, we know that God has something special planned for us today as we gather together. Now, when you walked into the service, you were handed what we call a program. Inside, you can find upcoming events as well as a few ways to get plugged in. On the bottom right-hand corner, we've added a QR code inside to help and make it easier to find links. All you have to do is just grab your smartphone, place your camera above the QR code, and here you'll be able to join our newsletter, send in prayer requests, and much more. Now, at Harvest Time, we believe that positive life change happens in the context of healthy relationships. And the best way to get connected is by joining a life group. We have life groups throughout the week, including Pastor Nick's Bible study here in the sanctuary on Wednesday nights or our young adults group on Thursday nights. There's a group for everyone, and it's not too late to jump in. For more information on joining a life group, make sure that you stop by the Connect table at the end of the service or online at htchurch.com and click on the Life Groups page.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We are so glad that you're here today. We're glad that you came to worship the Lord with us. I want to welcome everyone that is here in the sanctuary. I want to welcome everyone that is joining us online this morning. We're sorry that we can't be together physically, but we're so glad that we're connected by the Spirit of God, and we're thankful for technology that allows us to worship together this morning. We want to thank all of you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time. Thank you so much for remembering the tithe. Thank you for your giving to missions. As we come to the last quarter of a crazy, crazy, crazy year, we do have a little bit of catching up to do. And so if you're still working, if you're still able to earn your salary, thank you for remembering your tithe right now. We've also asked for your help with a special project that we're working on. We have a wonderful friend in India, a partner in ministry. Because we are streaming live, not able to say his name or what city he's in, but he has been to us here at Harvest Time many times. We have sent teams to him in India. He pastors one of the fastest growing churches in his city, and he's also involved in the work of rescuing young girls and boys out of sex trafficking. Over the last decade, he has literally rescued hundreds of young girls and boys out of brothels. They take them to safe houses where they receive ministry, they receive prayer, deliverance prayer, inner healing, they receive counseling, they receive medication, everything that they need to begin to put their lives back together. And any children in that situation in India, it's very unusual that they can go back to their original families. In fact, often the time it's a family member that sells them into prostitution to begin with. And so our friend arranges for these young men and these young women to be adopted out to Christian families across India, where they receive an education, they go on with a life, have a full and a fruitful life. I want to tell you, to go to those homes to hear the girls' stories is just so difficult to listen to, but then to see their faces and to see them beaming and to see the light of Christ in their face, it gives so much hope. So we've all been affected by the shutdown. It's affected our economy. It's affected the economy of the whole world. My friend tells me that more people in India have died from starvation because of the shutdown than have actually died from COVID-19. Many of the people in his church are unable to work, or they're not able to work as much as they were, and so their budget is seriously impacted. In August, we sent a modest gift to them, and my friend told me a week or two ago, he said, Pastor Glenn, because of that gift, my family and all of our girls have been able to eat for the last 2 months. And when I heard that, yeah, praise God. I was thankful for that, but when I heard that, something went off in my heart, and I said, all right, we sent a modest gift. This time I want to send a good gift to India. And so we're asking, there's an extra offering envelope in your bulletin today if you're here in this sanctuary. Would you consider doing a little something extra for our friends? If you just write India on the offering envelope, we will know where to direct your gift. You can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online by going to htchurch.com. You can give your tithe there, and you can also make a gift to missions and make a note India, and we'll know where to direct your gift. Because of social distancing, we will not be passing offering plates through the sanctuary this morning, but there are offering boxes at all of the entrances and all of the exits. And so if you brought an offering today or you'd like to leave an offering for India, you can drop those in the boxes on your way out. We have a QR code in the inside of our bulletin, something new. And we would love to know, if you're new to Harvest Time, we'd love to know that you were here worshiping with us today. You can just scan that QR code, and there is a link that says, I'm new to Harvest Time Church. And you can just let us know you were here. If you're a regular member of our HTC family, there's a link for you. It says, I'm part of the HTC family. You can click on that and fill out the connection card and let us know that you were here today. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about being salt and light. Matthew chapter 5. While you're finding your way there, want to let all of our parents know at the 10 o'clock service that we have a pre-check. We have a TSA pre-check for you online. And if you're bringing the kids for children's ministry, you can check them in online ahead of time, and you can skip the line at the children's connection desk and just go straight to that. And so if you'd like to take advantage of that before you come to service, when you get your tickets, you can check the kids in ahead of time and just save yourself a little bit of time. Matthew chapter 5. Let's talk about our call to be salt and light. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 13, you know these words well, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's talk about our call to be salt and light. Harvest Time Church is here for three things. We're here to help people believe, to find faith in Jesus Christ. We're here to help people belong to the family of God. I have to tell you, I just had such a ball on Wednesday evening. My heart was just so overwhelmed. So good to see our kids back on Wednesday evenings again, our youth group. Come on, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our adults who work with our kids and work with our teenagers on Wednesdays. I'm leading a new experience on Wednesday evenings called Discovery Track on the lower level. Pastor Nick is teaching on the Gospel of John here in the sanctuary. Pastor Ruth is teaching on prayer. Pastor Anita is leading a freedom group. Jane is leading divorce care. We have over 40 life groups that meet throughout the week, some on this campus, some in other venues, many of them meeting online right now. And if you want to know about how to belong to the family of God, you can stop at the Connect desk and see Pastor Anita at the end of the service. The third reason that we're here is to help people be light. In the most famous sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to us, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." What does that mean? What are we supposed to do with those words? I want to share a few thoughts today. On your way in, if you received a bulletin, there's an outline of today's sermon. If you like to listen, follow along, fill in the blanks, you can do that. If you're at home, you can download a copy of today's sermon outline in the chat section of the live stream. A few thoughts. What does Jesus mean when he calls us salt and light? First of all, salt and light means that we are called to be different. Salt and light means that we are called to be different. When Jesus calls us salt and light, he is making a sharp contrast between believers in him and the rest of the unbelieving world. Jesus is using those words to say that we are distinct. We are absolutely unique. In the original grammar in Matthew, the you is emphatic. You and only you are the salt of the earth. You alone are the light of the world and no one else. If believers in Jesus are salt, then by contrast, the condition of the unbelieving world is unsalted and in desperate need of the benefits that salt brings. If believers in Jesus are light, then by contrast, the condition of the world is spiritual darkness. The entire Sermon on the Mount is a description of how believers in Jesus are unique and different. Jesus said, "We've experienced an inner transformation of heart. Where there used to be pride, there's now a resident humility in our heart before God. We're acutely aware of our own brokenness and our need for him. In place of stubborn self-reliance, there's reverence for God. there's reliance upon Him. In place of self-promotion and the pursuit of pleasure, there's longing for closeness with God and Christ-likeness. In the place of vindictiveness and aggression, there is meekness and mercy and peace. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. We first ever, it all begins being different in the world. It all begins with a transformation in our heart. And then it spills over to every part of our life. As believers in Jesus, we're different in the way we practice our faith. We don't rely on rituals or rule keeping. We rely on a living relationship with the Father through Jesus the Son. From that relationship, there flows within us an instinctive knowledge of how to please God in every situation. And we have the inner inclination, the wherewithal, and the strength to follow through and do what God wants us to do. Ours is not a religion of rules, but of moment-by-moment guidance by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Believers in Jesus are transformed in our family relationships. We're in love with our spouses. We're loyal to them, faithful to them. We're loyal to our children. We're self-controlled. We're disciplined for the sake of our families. We're transformed in friendships. We're transformed in how we regard our fellow man and in valuing all people. We're transformed in our priorities. This is all the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. I'm just walking you through three chapters of Matthew. We're transformed in our understanding of the meaning and purpose of life. We're transformed in how we do business. We're transformed in how we handle conflicts. We're different in every way. Salt and light not only means that we're unique, it also means that as believers in Jesus, we're relevant, we're useful, we're exceptionally valuable in the world. We are precisely what the world needs. I guarantee that every home represented here today has both salt and light in them. Is there anybody here who lives in a home where there is no lights? Anybody? Anybody at all? Is there anybody here that lives in a home and there is no salt anywhere? There's no salt in your kitchen. There's no salt in your home. Everybody needs salt and light. When I was 24, I moved out on my own for the first time. Prior to that, I had always lived either in a college dorm or I had lived at home. And I want to tell you, when I finally was out on my own, it was such an eye-opening experience. I remember the first time I received an electric bill. I was horrified. All of a sudden, 24 years of my father saying, shut out the lights, shut out the lights, shut out the lights. All of a sudden, it made sense to me. I literally ran around my apartment, shutting off one little one-bedroom apartment, shutting off every light. I actually wondered if perhaps I could unplug my refrigerator for a few hours a day, and if I kept the door closed, that everything would just stay cold and I could save electricity. I'm glad I decided not to go through with that idea. And the bill was only 30-something bucks. But hey, I was only making $8 an hour, so it took me a half of a miserable Monday in order just to cover my electric bill. I'll also never forget the first time I was out grocery shopping. I was used to running into the store to pick up something here or there, but this was my first time buying all the basic necessities. I was mortified by the price of toilet bowl cleaner. I had nothing in my kitchen. I had no spices. I had no condiments. I only had a little bit of money. And I'll never forget when I finally got to the baking aisle and I found this huge thing of Morton salt. And I started doing a happy dance because this great big container of salt was only 35 cents. I said, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can afford salt. Salt is a cheap commodity today. But it wasn't at all that way in Jesus' day. In a world without refrigeration, salt was desperately needed as a preservative for meat and for fish, especially in tropical climates like Jesus lived in. People's livelihoods, even their very survival, depended upon the availability of salt. Salt was such a valuable commodity that Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt. If you tithed on your salary this week, you tithed on your salt money. That's the origin of the word salary. In a world without electric lights, the light from an oil lamp was equally as precious and not to be squandered. Listen, what Jesus is saying to us, whether the world values us or not, and they probably won't, by calling us salt and light, Jesus is letting us know that the role that we play in God's world is absolutely critical and it is of infinite worth. Atheist sociologists have been signaling the warning that Western civilization cannot survive without Christianity. Although these sociologists are not themselves people of faith, they recognize that Christianity created Western culture and Christianity is required to sustain it. Human rights, do you know this? Human rights that are now touted and treasured all around the world, human rights as we understand them are the product of Christianity in Western culture. Slavery has existed all over the world since the very beginning of human history, and slavery still exists today. We're trying to rescue some young girls and boys out of it. The abolition of slavery was the accomplishment of Christians in the West, and they fought for hundreds of years until they finally accomplished it. Thanks be to God. Salt and light, it means we're unique, it means we're relevant, it means we're valuable. It also means that we are very powerful in God's world. We might be a small minority, but we make a major difference in this world. Salt provokes thirst. Those salty pretzels and nuts on the bar, they're there to make you drink more. In the same way, when people look at our lives and they see the difference that Jesus has made in our lives, it provokes them to become thirsty for God. As an 8-year-old boy, I walked into a little church that was so full of the joy of the Lord that I decided right there on the spot that whatever those people had, I wanted. And I want to tell you, I got it that night, and I have been wonderfully full ever since. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Salt enhances the flavor of food. It makes everything taste better. In the same way, Christ enhances every part of our life. He just makes the whole thing better. Salt cleanses wounds. It's an antiseptic. People in our world, they're damaged by sin. They're broken. They're bruised. They're bleeding. And God uses us to help them find forgiveness and cleansing and freedom from guilt and shame and healing through faith in Jesus. But most of all, salt is a preservative. Salt stops deterioration. Left on their own, listen. Left on their own, it is the nature of human societies to deteriorate. The history of the world bears that out. Every human society, everywhere on the planet, and every time human societies tend to deteriorate, they tend to morally decline. They tend toward economic and social oppression. They tend toward disunity and unrest and lawlessness. We see it right now. William Golding's classic tale, The Lord of the Flies, illustrates it all very well. But Jesus said that we're the salt of the earth. We have the ability to stop the deterioration through our example, through our powerful prayers, and through our leadership in culture. In Christ, God has created us to be something different in order to make a difference. What does Jesus mean when he calls us salt and light? A few thoughts. Number one, we're called to be different. Number two, salt and light means that we are called to be engaged. We are called to be engaged. Salt and light not only means that we're unique and valuable and powerful, it also means that we have a responsibility in God's world. If we belong to Jesus, God has a claim on our lives. God has a call upon us. We have a role to play. We have a sacred duty to fulfill. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Some of you might know that my social media activity is pretty much limited to Facebook. I recently created an Instagram because Pastor Nick made me. He told me that it was the only way that I could communicate with the young adults that come to our dinner party on Tuesdays, and he was right. I have a Twitter account, but the last time I tweeted something was 3 years ago. There's a young adult who grew up here at harvest time from a little boy. He doesn't live locally anymore, but for some completely inexplicable reason, a few months ago, I started receiving notifications every time he tweets something, I get a notification on my phone. Now, I want you to understand this. I haven't been on Twitter in almost 3 years. I haven't received any notifications of any kind in 3 years. I haven't seen or spoken to or interacted with this young adult in even longer than that. There is really no earthly reason why I should start receiving notifications of his tweets, so I concluded there must be a heavenly reason why. He's not doing so well with regard to his faith. He's following a popular movement called deconstructing faith. And he has a lot of animosity towards evangelical Christianity, and he's a lot of angst over the way he was raised. We just finished 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I took him on as my special project every morning, crying out to the Lord, because I want him back. I want every young adult who grew up in the church and are away from faith, I want them back. But in one tweet that particularly grieved me, he was grumbling about how many weekends in his young life were wasted attending church and serving, and how much of his family's resources were wasted on the church. And I realized that he doesn't understand at all that Jesus has called his followers to the crucified life. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Listen, I'm going to be in your face. I hope you'll still love me anyway. Jesus hasn't called us to please ourselves. He's called us to deny ourselves and follow him in a life of sacrificial obedience to the Father. Jesus hasn't called us to indulge ourselves. He's called us to deny ourselves and follow him. He hasn't called us to express ourselves and be true to ourselves in the sense of giving free rein to our selfish whims and sinful impulses. He's called us to take up our cross and follow him. St. Paul understood the crucified life. He wrote, I have been co-crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, salt and light means that I am unique, I am valuable, I am powerful. It also means I am responsible to fulfill the role that God has planned for me in his world. Listen, everybody, listen. God is counting on us. You and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and only you, no one else, are the light of the world. In other words, if we don't do it, God has no one else here who can. And may I add that there is nothing more satisfying, there is nothing more fulfilling, there is nothing more joy-inducing and happiness-producing than walking in the will of God for you and fulfilling the purposes for which he made you. That's good preaching right there. Salt and light means that we have to resist the temptation to withdraw, and we have to be intentional about reaching people and exerting influence. In order for salt to do all that salt can do, in order for salt to provoke thirst, in order for salt to enhance foods, in order for salt to act as an antiseptic or a preservative, it has to get out of the salt shaker. Salt has to be rubbed on meat. It has to be put on a fish fillet in order to do what salt can do. And the same is true for us. In order for us to be used by God in His world, we have to get outside of the four walls of the church. We get filled up in here on Sunday and during the week and in our Bible studies and our life groups, but we can't stay here. We have to get out there. One day, Jesus invited Peter and James and John to go on a hike. They went up to the top of a mountain. When they reached the top, the glory of God descended upon them. Jesus had a power lunch with Moses and Elijah. The disciples wanted to build houses and just stay right there. They said, "Lord, let's just stay here and never leave." But down below, there was a little boy who was being tormented by evil spirits who needed to be set free. They couldn't stay there. I thank God for mountaintop spiritual experiences in the presence of the Lord. They're wonderful. They're necessary. We've had plenty. And I want to tell you, real soon, we're going to have plenty more. But we can't just stay there. There's people in need who are waiting for us. Listen to me. After this crazy COVID year, God needs us to get out of the salt shaker, and He needs us to become very intentional about connecting with people. We're indebted to some friends in Brooklyn for a new idea for connecting with people. It's called Dinner Party. It's not a Bible study like you're used to going to. It's not a prayer meeting per se. It's dinner together and a conversation about the Lord. And then we pray for each other at the end. It's how the church grew in the book of Acts. They met for worship on Sundays and they ate together in their homes during the week. Denise and I have started a dinner party for young adults at our house on Tuesday evenings. In fact, the parsonage has a very small dining room, so we're in the process of transforming our family room into a bigger dining room so we can have more people. If you're a young adult in your mid-20s, we would love to have you Tuesday at 7. I so look forward to Tuesday evenings. On Thursdays, we have a brand new dinner party starting for young adults in college age years. We have another one starting for senior high school students on Friday evenings. In a few weeks, we're going to reach out to you and we're going to ask you to pray and consider joining a team to start dinner parties. Let's fill up Fairfield County and Westchester County with dinner parties and let's make connections with people. Let's also be intentional about exerting influence. Listen, we need to get active in our neighborhoods. We need to get out there in the community so we can be light for Christ. We need to volunteer. We need to serve. We need to do some good in the world for Jesus' sake. For the past 3 weeks, we've been fasting and praying for America. And during our morning prayer times, I've just become reminded again with such urgency how much America needs Christian leaders in every sphere of our society to prevent moral and cultural deterioration. We need Christian leaders in Washington, D.C. We need Christian justices on the Supreme Court, and we need Christian judges on benches all across the country. We need Christian leaders at the state and the local levels. We need Christian leaders in public education. Listen, we need Christian leaders on state boards of education and on local school boards. We need Christian leaders in media, in sports, in entertainment. We need Christian salt to penetrate our culture again. This is what we've been praying. We've been praying urgently for the elections in November, and my prayer has been simply this: Lord, unseat anyone who is contributing to deterioration, and Lord, seat those that will be salt and light, that will be antiseptic, that will prevent deterioration. Let's pray for that. Let's vote for that. And in the years to come, I hope some of you will run for that, campaign for that, and we're going to support you all the way. What does Jesus mean when He calls us to be salt and light? Few thoughts. We're called to be different. We're called to be engaged. Finally, this: salt and light means that we are called to be courageous. We're called to be courageous. Just because we're unique and relevant and useful and valuable and powerful, Jesus said, it doesn't mean we'll always be appreciated here on earth. In fact, Jesus told us to anticipate contempt. He told us to anticipate derision and false accusations. It was true for Jesus. It was true for the early church. It has been true for all 2,000 years of church history, and it's still true today. Jesus said people resented him for shining God's light, and they'll resent us too, because light exposes what is hidden in the darkness, and people don't like that. Listen, here's the thing about the darkness in this world. The darkness is not empty. The darkness is not merely the absence of God's light. It is the presence of evil spiritual forces. The darkness is aggressive. The darkness is intimidating. The darkness is threatening. The darkness initiates conflict. If you have ever faced the spiritual force behind the spirit of intimidation, it is powerful and it pushes you down and it makes you want to shrink back. And Jesus said we were going to have to fight the urge to want to put a lid on our light and just blend in with everybody else. Salt and light means that we're a minority in the world. What good is a little bit of salt against a huge mass of deteriorating society? What does just a little light from one oil lamp do in a world full of darkness? Oh yeah, we're a minority, but Jesus told us to expect to make a major, major impact in the world. Jesus didn't say to that little group in Galilee, you're the light of Galilee. He didn't even say, you're the light of Israel. He didn't even say, you're the light of the Middle East. He said, you, this little group of salt and light, you are the light of the whole world. You're going to make an impact everywhere. Listen, here's why we can't shrink back. I'm almost done. Here's why we can't shrink back from our call to be different. Somebody, listen to this. Jesus said that compromised believers, believers who have become so absorbed into the world that they're indistinguishable from the world, Jesus said they are not only useless, they are also toxic. Unsalty salt is so full of contaminants that it loses all of its potency. It cannot do what salt is supposed to do. And in that case, Jesus said it is put down on the roads as an herbicide. That dirty salt, it hardens the soil that it falls upon, and it makes the conditions such that nothing can grow there. In the ancient world, if you really, really, really wanted to trash your enemy, you sowed his seeds with salt so that for decades and decades you ruined his agriculture. Nothing would grow there. And here's the thing about believers who are compromised. Here's the thing about believers that are so mixed in with the world that you can't tell the two apart. We're not only useless to God, we're actually toxic. We who were meant to produce an environment that heals and cleanses and prevents deterioration, we become the very thing that prevents people from sprouting forth a new life and from growing. I want to finish with a word for somebody listening today. Here's a word, somebody, you need to hear it, and I want you to receive it. Worship team, you can help me finish. Salt and light means that God has strategically positioned you exactly where you are right now. In 2014, before we embarked upon the construction of this sanctuary, I took a couple of weeks, several weeks, and I did a lot of soul searching. Having built one building already, I understood what building this building that's double the size, what it would require of us. I understood the hours it would require. I understood the financial sacrifice it would require. I understood the patience, the faith it would require. I understood the risk to our family, our church family. You know, everybody loves church buildings, but not so much the process that a building requires. And I said, God, I have to have a word from you. Lord, you have to let me know. I didn't know it at the time. I was in congestive heart failure, and I was a little tired. God healed me from that. Thank you, Jesus. I said, God, I have to have a word from you. You have to let me know that we're doing the right thing in the right time. You have to let me know that this is the right project and the right investment, that I'm leading the congregation the right way. You have to let me know that this whole thing is worth it. The Lord led me to this scripture in Matthew chapter 5. And as I was reading the words of one of my favorite commentators, a guy called R. Kent Hughes, I stumbled across these words. We are lamps. Somebody listen. Somebody, there's a word from God for somebody listening to this. We are lamps, and the householder, that's God, places us strategically. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Instead, they put it on its stand. The light, listen, this is what he wrote. The light is placed strategically so that it can shine to best advantage, and God does the placing. We are simply to shine where we're placed. When I read those words, something happened to my heart. A spirit of faith filled my heart. The Lord reminded me that He put Harvest Time Church in Greenwich in 1983. The Lord reminded me that He placed Denise and me here in 1996. The Lord reminded me that He miraculously put us on this property in 1999. This property was for sale for 40 years, and the town of Greenwich would not let anybody buy it. Arnold Palmer, the golfer, tried to buy it. Marriott Corporation tried to buy it three different occasions. In a period of 20 years, there were 22 people who tried to buy it. When we found it, they said, it's a great piece of property. They'll never let you build a church on it. I said, who do we have to ask? It was a woman at town hall. And my wife was that woman's secretary. I called my wife. I said, can we have an appointment with Diane? She said, sure, come on over. I went into her office, and after 20 years and 22 other buyers that were turned down, I said, Diane, Harvest Time Church would like to buy this piece of property and build a church on it. And she said, I support that use of that piece of property. God reminded us that He is the one that has placed us here. And all we have to do is shine. Listen, here's the word. This is for somebody. You need to hear this. God's going to minister to your heart. Something's going to break when you hear this word. You've been wondering, God, what on earth am I doing here? How did I get here? Why am I still here? Listen, no matter what circumstances brought you here, no matter what broken promises have left you here, abandoned and alone, it is God who has placed you here, and all you have to do is shine. Let a spirit of faith fill your heart today. I want to tell somebody, good things are ahead. Breakthrough is ahead. Vindication is ahead. What you've been dying and desiring from the Lord, it's just ahead of you. Just shine where you are. What does it mean that we're the light of the world? We're called to be different, engaged, and courageous. Stand on your feet. Give Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today. Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Give him a good praise in this. Oh, we can still do better. Give him a good praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice. All my life, you've been faithful.
And all my life, you have been good. See you now.
on, would you give the Lord a praise in this place? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're willing, would you put your hand on your heart? You know, the Lord called a prophet in the Old Testament. He said, "Who will go for us? Whom shall I send?" And the prophet replied, "Here am I, Lord, send me." There's a call on your life. Salt and light means there's a call on your life to be different. There's a call on your life to engage. There's a call on your life to be courageous. I'm wondering if you'd answer that call this morning. Would you simply say with me, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Come on, let's say that. If you're willing, would you say it with me? Let's say it together to the Lord. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Come on, say it again. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for your beautiful people. I pray that today the cloud of your presence would just envelop us completely. I pray, Lord, that your provision would just accompany us. I pray that your protection would surround us. I pray your providence would lead us forward this week. Father, I thank you that it's going to be a good week. Our beautiful shepherd Jesus, he's already gone ahead of us. He's already searched out green pastures. He's already searched out still waters. He's already cleared the enemy out of our path ahead of us, Lord. I thank you that it's going to be a good week. I thank you, Lord, that some things that have been stuck for a little while at an impasse, they haven't been moving, Lord. I thank you this week they're going to start moving again, Lord. I thank you phones are going to ring. I thank you that emails are going to chime, Lord. I thank you that texts are going to come through, Lord. I thank you that things are going to start moving again, Lord. I thank you that even right now, over the weekend, conversations are being had about your people, good conversations, Lord. And Father, doors are going to swing open. I pray, lift up your hands. I pray for everybody today who needs a job or a better job, Lord. I pray for everybody that needs a resolution to a housing situation today. Father, I pray that this week there would be definitive movement forward. I want you to just lift your hand if you're willing. Lord, let everything your people touch prosper. Lord, let everything they touch bring a good result and a good return for the care of their families and for blessing the kingdom of God. Lord, go with your people until we come together again. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great Sunday in Jesus' name.